Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. And this is the midweek version of that Fiber Talk thing that happens on Wednesdays, which is the middle of the week, which is, you know, that's how it works. So,
Wednesday, middle of the week.
Okay, so tonight will be the third of our Stitch Hour sampler series. And this time, I'll be at Vicki Jennett's house, Vicki Jennett Needlework Press. I don't know if Megan, her daughter-in-law, I said the other day, last week or 2 weeks ago, that it was her daughter. It's actually her daughter-in-law. I don't know if she'll be with us. I hope so, because the two of them are a lot of fun. But anyway, we'll be at Vicki's house, which is basically a reproduction sampler and antique needlework tools museum. And we'll be live there. So join us tonight as we just basically grab stuff off the walls and out of cabinets and show you stuff. Yeah.
And it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've seen Instagram of her stuff. So, you know, people walk around in it. That's going to be fabulous.
And Vicki, anybody that knows Vicki, she is a real student of reproduction samplers and needlework history. I mean, a real student. She studies that stuff 6 ways to Sunday and collects it. So it's just a wealth of knowledge. So we get to tap into that. I did a video tour at her house. You can look it up. It's on the YouTube channel. Oh, I want to say 3 years ago, certainly 2 years ago. But you can look it up and you'll get a. We did a little tour around the house there and you'll get a sense of what it is. But in the interim, she's collected a lot more stuff. So, so that's tonight, 8:00 Eastern. Join us on the YouTube channel for the third in our series. And then now next week, I'll be at the attic with Jean Lee. And,
okay. And I'm officially jealous.
Okay.
Officially jealous.
Actually, there's no, and we won't have any trouble finding samplers there. That'll be pretty easy to do.
No.
But to talk with Jean Lee about it will be fun. And then, so I'm going to, I'll be there for the Wednesday night, and then we're going to have a men's night, but we're not going to record that. And then I got to talk to Gene, but I've got a couple of ideas for another show live from the attic, and that one more shopping oriented. So we'll see what we can do with that. See how far Gene's willing to go. So there'll be at least two shows live from the attic. And the last time, which now was pre-pandemic, that I was in Arizona, I did another show where I took a bunch of stuff from the store. So, but I didn't, you know, I didn't want to impose on Gene too many times. But I took a bunch of stuff from the store and did a show, and we showed that. So, hey, if I'm going to be out there for 3 weeks, we might as well make hay, as they say.
Yes.
So,
yes. So has Jean talked you into doing 56 count?
Oh, she's tried, and she sent me a sample, and I played with it a little bit, but then, you know, squirrel, and off I went to something else. But, she tries. That's her mantra, is the 56 count and nothing but silk. So, yeah, if you have a conversation with her, you'll get that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just curious if she, but she never really quite sucked you into totally.
No.
Buying into that. No. Okay.
Not that I'm opposed. No, it's not that I'm opposed. Right. She sent me a sample, so I could try it. And then, you know, the next thing is, all right, I should buy a kit and actually do it, because that's the only way. But, I didn't think it was all that tough, under magnification. I mean, it was, you know, it just, no.
Well, it's just a little tighter. So sometimes I split, like even on the 46, I've got to be careful not to hit a thread and to get in between the spaces. So I was just wondering maybe if she, you know, maybe there's a, you could demonstrate that and show maybe there's a technique. Maybe I'm not getting my fabric tight enough on my hoop.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have it really taught?
Well, she'll be right there. I'll talk about it. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Just an idea.
All right. Yeah. Maybe you'll be available, and then you can ask. And
Okay.
but yeah, no, yeah, well, I you know we can explore that. She'll talk about stitching with silk on 56 count fabric all day long. So you just need to flip that switch and let her run. Yeah, she'll do it.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. So that's going to be fun. So at least a couple of live shows from the attic, and then there'll be two or three Instagram pictures of us guys. There's, I think we had six of us when we did it a couple of years ago, and Gene said that they've asked, you know, when I would be out again so that we could do it. So we had a great time, got some beer, sat around the table and stitched, and yeah, so looking forward to that. Great group of guys, so it'll be fun. So all of that coming up in the next 3 weeks. And then the week after that, which would be the 13th now, the second Wednesday in October, then will be who's going to do the lacing thing? Deb DeCrane.
Oh, Deb DeCrane.
Yeah, we'll show us how to lace. Jeez, I can't. I tell you. So we'll have that. So if you're interested in seeing how lacing is done, Deb will do that for us.
Yes.
Coming up.
And have some questions for us. She said she'd love to have questions asked. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Pound Deb with questions. Just pound on her. Yeah. Make her earn her keep.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then Sunday's guest, I have not recorded it yet, but this is, well, yeah, Sunday's guest. That's right. Oh, I'm losing my track of my days. Anyway, Karen Teresi, and she's in the UK, and it's bead embroidery. But not just bead embroidery like you and I would do it. It's bead embroidery at the highest of levels. So she's done several movies, bead embroidery for Peter Pan, the movie, Star Wars, Attack of Clones, and several others. She's done theater embroidery, Tina Turner, Lion King, Phantom, Mamma Mia, and done work for Chanel and Yves Saint Laurent. And, she's got a long, long list where she's done, and I'm sure a lot of it's tambour embroidery, but so we get to tap into that little world of couture and movies and plays and all that stuff. So,
fun.
Yeah, that's coming up Sunday. Yeah, that's how that'll be. So that's best we can do for now.
Right. Nothing like being a little bored.
No. I'm trying, you know, I try to get these things together, right, and, you know, get something interesting, and it's best I can do for right now. So I'll keep working at it. And then also check out the YouTube channel for videos from the Galleria event in St. Charles, Illinois, St. Charles, Missouri, not the one in Illinois, but the one in Missouri, because I went there and did a couple of those too. So, because now it's just down the road for me. So piece of cake.
Yeah, not a big deal.
Nope. Now we want you to check out the Embroiderers Guild of Western Australia. Not the one where April and the gallery you've been to, but this one's in Western Australia. Michelle Long contacted me. They are doing a fundraiser of a 1707 German sampler from their collection. And they did it two ways, as I've mentioned a couple times, if you're up to date on all the podcasts. She did it the original way, as they say, with all the errors and, you know, the way it was actually done. And there's some white work. There's a small section of white work in there. And so that's in there. And there's several specialty stitches and the whole bit. So they charted that. And then they did a reimagined version that is mostly cross-stitch. There's some Bargello. The white work section they made into some, it looks like Bargello. So you can download, it's a PDF download, so you can get both versions for $20 Australian, or the original, the one with the white work, for $15 Australian. And it's a fundraiser for them. And so you can get one or the other. And of course, if you're in America, American dollar, it will be less. And what happens to other parts of the world, I can't tell you. But anyway, It's a really nice chart design, and I bought one. But I'll give you.
I figure you what yeah, you had.
I did right away. Had. Yeah, you know what can I do? And pictures. I showed pictures last week in the midweek show on the YouTube channel and put them on the page, and I'll do the same again this week. And then I'll be showing them on the live shows so that you can get a look at them of both versions. Now, they're using a ticket sale system. So a heads up, they're using it to make the purchase like a ticket sale system like you would buy tickets to a concert, only you're buying tickets to a sampler chart. So don't be thrown off by that. If you just follow along, just imagine yourself buying tickets to a concert. You'll get there. It'll be fine. And when I did it, within, it wasn't even 30 seconds, I had an email with the download link, and it worked perfect. So it's just kind of a little off-putting when you're, you know, once you, basically you're buying tickets. And, no, I thought I was buying a sampler chart, you know, so it's a little weird. But it works like a charm. Now, you can go, to do this, you can go to Embroiderers, with an S, embroidersguildwa.org.au. That's their homepage, and it's right on the homepage. Can't miss it, like it's the main thing. So embroidersguildwa.org.au. But then I set up what's called a redirect. So you can do wetalkfiber.com/German. So wetalkfiber.com/German will take you right to that same homepage, and then you can see the chart and buy the chart if you want to do that. So either way, you work it out. And I'll put a link in the notes so that you can do that, as I've done the last couple of weeks. So help them out if you're so inclined. It's a fundraiser for them, and but it's a really nice chart. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that you get both for 20 Australian, that doesn't seem like
right.
I mean, it seems like a no-brainer, and right. And then it kind of goes with, you know, then if you're afraid to do white work, it must be just like a little section. I haven't seen it because I'm traveling.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal. No.
So it'd be a great way to learn, to kind of stretch yourself a little bit. And then if you really have a problem, you have the other chart and say, okay, I really can't get this. I'm just going to stick the Bargello or stick whatever else in there.
Yeah.
And go on. But, you know, at least to give you a place to try that.
Yep.
Technique.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly that. Yeah, you give it a whirl; it won't hurt. You can
right.
You can do it. Yeah, when you see it, you'll buy it. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm quite confident. Yep. All right. So we're recording this, and you are on an extended trip, and we're recording this before I'm going to Phoenix for an extended trip. And so, of course, the question comes up, stitching on the road. And right. Now you guys are traveling. You've got your car and you're pulling a little trailer thing that gives you what is the kind of camping you're doing?
It's a camp-in is what we're using, but it's basically very rustic, I guess.
Okay. So I assume you took at least some needlework with you.
I always take more needlework than I will ever stitch.
There we go.
On a trip. In fact, I was threading a needle and going to stitch in the car going to our next destination. And my husband said, you are missing the scenery. And I looked up and I was like, he's right. I am missing the scenery. And I put my needle down and I looked. But at night in my camper, I stitched. And so I finished, I finished Marion Lang, the other night while we were in the camper. I said, okay, I just need to do like 5 more stitches. Cause he was like, are you ready for bed yet? And I'm like, almost 5 more stitches. There's enough light.
Yeah. With a camper, he can't just be in the living room while you're stitching. Yeah. Or just go to bed while you stitch. Yeah. That doesn't work. Yeah.
No. We got to turn off the lights all at the same time. I said, no, you just gonna have to wait. I'm almost done. 5 more stitches. And then I kept making a move. I was trying to take a picture and he was in the light. And I was like, okay, this is a terrible photo. I'm going to have to try again. but we have light in the camper. It has electricity. And I always carry my magnifying glasses with the little lights on them. And I have another little, what are they called? Mighty Brights, or, and they have the clip on them. And then they have little LED lights with batteries. And that's what I carry.
Okay.
So I always have plenty of lighting in my stitch. But, yeah.
So, all right. So then,
you know, you never know.
Yeah. Because my first question was going to be, do you stitch in the car? So, yes, you do, until your husband points out that you're missing out. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And if it's boring, you know, freeway travel, he doesn't say anything. But, you know, if we're going someplace and we're going and it's very beautiful, you know, he obviously is like, you're missing it. You're missing why we're on the road, dear.
Yeah, Beth, there is no point in us traveling if you're going to stitch. Yes.
That's right, 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 right. But on the freeway, you know, right, there's nothing to look at but cows and other cars, you know, might as well stitch.
Yep. All right, so then. Go ahead.
But I can't stitch for long periods of time. I can't stitch like for hours in the car. I stitch for like 15 minutes. I put it down. I look around and then I pick it up again. But
yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is it short bursts? Because with the car vibrating and everything, I mean, it is kind of hard on the eyes. So,
right.
Yeah. All right. So you have to kind of watch yourself. Okay.
Right. And I don't, like, a lot of times, I bring Mill Hill bead kits. I didn't this time. But that's what I stitch, because for two main reasons. It's 14 count, so it has, and it has big definite holes, so it's hard to miss those spots.
Yeah.
And it's a kit that's, you know, they're under $20 normally. I don't know what they are running now, but so if you lose the whole stinking thing, you're out $20.
Yeah.
Unlike if you take something like, I don't know, it's all the silks and all, you lose something that, you're gonna cry, you know.
Yeah.
And I have yet to misplace a piece of embroidery while traveling, but you know, there's going to be a first time.
Yeah.
And I just don't want it to be something that I've spent a huge amount of time on and a huge amount of money on.
Right
So that's
all right. So tell me about tools for you. You just take cheap scissors. Do you have a little kit that you put together? How do you do that?
All right. So I always buy, when the school scissors go on sale, I buy a cheap pair. And those, you know, because they're so cheap, after a while they stop cutting the threads.
Yeah.
So I throw those in a bag, a pack of needles, because, you know, the one time you don't do that, you'll lose your one needle in the car, and then that's it for the rest of the trip.
Pretty much, yep.
unless you can talk someone into stopping at a store, which doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
And that's it. A hoop.
Okay.
If I'm stitching with linen.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's all. Very minimal.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's pretty much. I have a project bag. A cheap plastic project bag, so if it gets ruined, I don't care. And then, yeah, my fanny hoop thing, and my project, and yeah, threads, and yeah, I'm with you. Take several needles, and then cheap scissors that if they fly out the window, you don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do have I went on a lanyard that there are some scissors I bought at a show, and they're nice, but again, they were a big $10.
Right.
So I don't take my Dovos with me. Now, if I'm taking a beading project, I have one of those sticky mat things, and I'll take that with me. But yeah, you know, as little as I possibly can. Because again, we're traveling in a camper, we try to minimize it and try to take as little as possible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'll admit, if I'm driving, I will pack up the good scissors and, you know, I'll do that if I'm driving, because I feel like, you know, I won't lose them, and I'm usually the one driving, so it's not like I'm going to be stitching in the car. But
right.
No, going to Phoenix, no. No, it'll be the little $5 scissors. Yeah, I'm not having TSA. Well, and you know, right. I'm just not having them take $50 scissors. That's not happening. But I'm still mad. It was a couple of years ago. It was the first time I took my bike to Phoenix. And of course, if you have to dismantle your bike, then tools have to go along. And I had this, what turned out to be, it was a editor gift at some event, adjustable wrench that I used, and I took that along with me just to have, because I needed a wrench for axles and stuff. And TSA took it. Because
really?
It was longer than, I believe 6 inches is the longest you can have a wrench. And it was like 7. And they took it.
Oh.
And I thought, I was not happy because it was a really good, top flight. And that's why it was given to us, because it was an event for these new high end. And it was, it was just really well designed and constructed with really tight tolerances and everything. And they took it. And I was pretty sick about it. And then when I went to replace it, it was $30.
Yeah.
And I replaced it with something cheaper. And I have one now that is shorter than 6 inches that will go with me. But yeah, I don't take anything, no $50 scissors or expensive tweezers or anything. No.
No.
Because I don't care.
You just don't want.
Yeah, I don't care if you're within the rules or not. All you need is one cranky TSA agent, and and they'll just take it. And there's nothing you can do. You just give it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll never forget this one time we were flying. I don't know where we were flying, and my son was carrying my backpack for some reason, which had my stitching kit in it, which had the cheap little kid scissors. And of course, they pinged him. Uh-huh. And he was like, and they stopped, and they searched him twice, doing the wand thing, and then went through the bag, and he had to wait and explain why he had scissors in his bag.
Yep.
Because you're supposed to keep moving, and we're like, where is this child? And when he got to us, he was hotter than you know what. He said, I'm never carrying your bag again,
yep.
Mom.
Yep. Yep.
They let him keep the scissors. They didn't take them, but they were like, I'm like they're kid scissors for my stitching.
Yeah.
But of course, I should have been carrying my own bag, and then that wouldn't have happened. But.
Right. Right. Yeah. 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 The story is much more believable if it's you. Yes.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Now my, my carry-on bag. So my backpack will be searched because there will be two computers, two laptops, and a iPad, and then all the stuff that goes with it, and that never leaves my hands. So, So that'll get searched just because there's too many things in there that are blocking the X-ray, and then my carry-on bag will get searched because that will have the microphone in it, and they always want to know what that microphone is because it, it does not look. It does not X-ray well in terms of that's a nothing. So they always want to know what that is, and it's always wrapped up so it doesn't get dinged up. And then I'll have bike tools and stuff in there too. So yeah, that'll get searched too. And I just accept it. Yep. Take a look. Have fun. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And Margaret's up ahead. She's already got her shoes back on. She's just waiting for you at one of those seats.
She knows. She knows. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's the overriding thing when you travel, is take needlework stuff that if you lose it, you don't care.
I just can't imagine, if we were traveling someplace like driving, and I was going to be someplace for like stationary. We're traveling, we're moving around. Maybe I would bring one of my bigger projects, but I doubt it because I would really be afraid of losing it. I remember debating, I think I took my Agnes Dei when I went to see my parents in New Mexico. And I seriously debated, do I want to bring this? What happens if for some reason, I lose it?
Yep.
And I have to start this over again. And I was well over halfway through by that time.
Yeah.
So I did take it. But it was like, it was one of those things. I seriously thought about it because I was like, if I lose this, this could be bad. I could be really, really sad. Yeah. Would I restart it even,
And here's a tip that I learned from the photography days when I was doing photography every minute I had. When you are stitching, no matter where you are, doesn't matter where you are, and you get all packed up and you're ready to leave that location, before you leave, turn around and scan everything to make sure you picked up all of your pieces. Because that extra 5 seconds is worth it. Because if you leave that, it's not your normal environment, and you may not be coming back to that spot. So make sure that you just do a turnaround. And the story behind that is there were three of us in Milwaukee for a day photographing along the lakefront. And it was full metal, all the cameras, all the lenses, the big fancy tripods, the whole shooting match. And we got in the car, and it was like a 2.5 hour drive. We got halfway home, and one of the guys in our group realized he had left his $500-$700 tripod on the park bench.
Oh no!
Yeah, and we were point of no return, so it was go home. He jumped in his car and drove back, which was a waste of time because, of course, it wasn't there. And so that was the lesson for me that fortunately didn't cost me a dime, but boy, I felt bad for him. And ever since then, I've just put that habit in my head of, before you leave a location, turn around as you're walking away, turn around and scan it and make sure you have everything. And then I didn't practice it once here. It would have been just before the pandemic. I had a very expensive set of Bose headphones, noise-canceling headphones, that I got for when you're in those regional jets, primarily, where they're just incredibly noisy. And but they're full-blown headphones. And I know I had locked them in one of those, safes in the room while I was out at the trade show for the day. I left it there.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks later, and I wanted to block out noise while I was working at home in the office, and I looked everywhere. I could not find them. And I left them in a hotel. And it was another one. I did not follow the rule. I did not turn around and make sure I had everything. And, and part of that in a hotel room is that safe door open when you walk out the door, because then that means you checked it to make sure your stuff isn't in there. Yeah. So, those are hard lessons to learn too. Yeah.
Yeah. Expensive too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So yeah, do that scan. It's worth it. It really is.
Right. Right. Yep. I don't know what expensive thing we left one place with kids. And ever since then, it's like, okay, who did the final room check? We're going to do one more final room check.
Yep.
Did you check under the bed? Did you make sure?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And these days, did you check every plug in the room?
Right.
Make sure you didn't leave your charger. Yeah. Yep.
Oh yeah.
All of them.
The pit. Yeah. All of them. All of the chargers.
Yep. No. My laying tool is my cheapest, most replaceable laying tool. Yeah. All those things. It's. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. You do not want to. That's just frustrating. Yeah. Yep. So, okay. And I got a new magnifier light because my travel magnifier light was a halo. Lots of people have them where it's a base and then it's a stiff arm and then a light that's on a swivel.
It folds and it folds and it goes into that knitting bag.
Right, right. Ideal. Ideal setup.
Right.
And really well made and everything. I hated it.
Why?
Well, because I could never, with that stiff back arm between the light and the base, I was always fighting to get a comfortable angle.
Okay.
and I hated it. So I gave it to a friend who's a needle worker and needled one, and I said, just take it because, you know, just take it. Right. My gift to you.
Right.
So I bought, and I think I'm going to like it, I bought a Brightech LightView Pro Flex, 2.25 magnification. And so this comes with a base, a heavy base, and it also comes with a really good clamp. So you can put the flex, it's got a flexible neck on it. So you can put the flexible neck in either the clamp or the base, and you can swivel it around in the base and the clamp, and of course have the flexible neck. And then it's a glass magnifier with a ring of LEDs all the way around it. And I played with it a little bit. It was like $30. And I think I'm going to like it a lot. So, yes, that's my new thing.
A new toy.
Yes.
A new toy.
Well, because I gave this to my friend. And it was, you idiot. Now you don't have one.
Now what are you going to use?
But, yeah, it was... It was, I'm giving it to her. I haven't traveled in 2 years. And so I wasn't thinking, well, I wasn't thinking there will be travel in the future. I just, you know, I don't like it. I'm not using it. Take it. And then it was, wait, we're going to Phoenix. Now I got to get something. So yeah. I'm not always the brightest bulb. No.
And I do like my, I know people, I mean, my husband was just laughing at me because I was stitching in the camper and I had those glasses on my nose with the light things on, and he looked at me and snicker, and I'm like, you know, this is way more portable than a halo or anything like that.
But, yeah,
you know, for me in a small space,
right,
the magnifying lights, the glasses work perfect.
Yep.
I don't have something else to carry with me in that camper would not be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do need the magnification.
Yeah.
I do need the magnification.
Yeah, so do I.
Sad to say.
Yep.
Sad to say. I keep on thinking about Jean and her 56 count. And I think, how does she do that? What magnification glasses does she? I have to find a way to be on so I can ask that question.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out about the glasses, because I don't think there's anything special about her glasses. And maybe even to the point where she just uses whatever she wears every day. I have never seen her get out anything special other than she gets out her hoop, puts the cloth in, and starts stitching on that really fine stuff. I have no idea how she does that. It blows me away every time. But, yeah, so we'll just ask her. Yeah.
We're going to ask. I want to know. Curious minds want to know.
Yeah. Because when you're talking to her, I just don't recall that you know, it's not like you're looking through Coke bottle bottoms or something like that. I don't know. She's an amazing woman on a lot of fronts. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tell me about this Bristol Museum you visited.
We went to, it's called the Birthplace of Country Music in Bristol, Tennessee. I think it was in Tennessee, not in Virginia. They're right across the border. But there was a beautiful, beautiful quote on the wall. And when I'm not stitching, I'm always looking for needlework just to see what's local. And what they had was this huge quilt on the wall, and it was made by the local Embroiderers Guild. The Bristol and the Tennessee Embroiderers Guild. So they adapted some quilt pattern. They stitched around the edges. I think it's the circle. The circle is unbroken, which is the famous song, country song. And then the names of the people who were part of the Bristol music sessions, which started 1927 is the big, where they say Hillbilly music started. So when they made a recording. A fascinating museum, very, very well done. Even if I'm not a musical person, my husband is. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to tag along with him. But that quilt and seeing the beautiful work they put into it struck me. You know, I think when you travel sometimes, you forget to look for those things, to look to see where's the needlework, where you know, people who have made things. And so I'm always on the lookout for it. And I just loved that quilt. And I thought, oh, I've got to share that with people. But, and again, the Embroiderers Guild, it was not just Embroidery Guild includes people who quilt. Quilting is, as long as it's done with a needle and thread, it counts as embroidery.
Yeah.
So, and what they said in the little blurb on it was that it was a little tough for the quilters and the embroiderers to work together because I can imagine because the quilters had an idea and the stitchers had an idea and how are you going to merge the two?
Yeah.
Into one. But it's a beautiful, beautifully quilted and then the embroidery done around it is beautifully done. It was just a cool quilt. But, so I don't know about you, but I'm always like, we hopped into an antique store and immediately I saw some very pretty white work napkins.
Uh-huh.
I did not purchase them. I looked at them, but I did not purchase them. Done. I think they had it was reticella was the cut work that was in them.
Yeah.
Do you ever go looking for embroidery, or do you just
nope.
you know if like other than at the attic? Nah, not something you look for.
I cannot do the antique store thing. I don't have the mind for that, and I don't know what that is because I know it. I know there are things to be found, but I walk in there and it's not like my mind starts looking for specific things because I never have anything specific I'm looking for, and so it's just this mass of stuff, and I can't connect. I've tried it a few times. I just simply can't connect, and so it just. It becomes a get me out of here thing, you know. I need to go.
You need to go. And normally that's how when we just literally did a quick circle around. I said I just want to walk in and see what they have. But when I look, that's what I look for. When I go into stores like that, I look for needlework. And I was actually I wanted to see if there happened to be any samplers around.
Yeah.
Just anything locally made, more out of curiosity. Not that I was going to purchase anything. It was more of a just something to look at and to do. So
that part interests me, but I just don't want to devote the time to it, to go into antique shops because if you found a sampler a decent shape that you could get for $50 or whatever, I mean that would be pretty cool,
right?
But I just don't want to spend the time tromping around hoping. It's like going to estate sales. Like where we lived in Illinois was a lot of old homes with families have been there forever, and then the last person would die, and then estate sale to empty the house. And I know that if I had been persistent, that sooner or later you'd trip over some antique sewing tools or a sampler or something like that. But I just can't.
Right.
I can't bring myself to do it. I just don't want to. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, and I don't. And that my daughter likes to thrift for clothes. She's at that age where she likes to do that, and I loathe. And it's the same sort of thing. I don't like looking through all these items to find the one gem.
Yeah.
In the store that and that's I'm the same way. So, but I do look for needlework. No matter where I go. So even if it's like at the museum, I look and see, do they have any needlework around? Even if it's this historical museum, but so, cause we go to a lot of museums. That's what my husband and I like to do.
Yeah.
So I'm always on the lookout for those sort of things, but no, just to go antiquing and no, I have a sister-in-law that likes to do that. Not me. No. Mm-mm.
No, there's a lot of people. That's a whole world. I'm sure there's the Facebook groups and everything else. People who just live, when they travel, they can't go by an antique store without pulling in for at least 10 minutes, and can't wait for first thing Saturday morning to get the garage sales and estate sales in town. And I know, and I've known people who just have the best time doing it. I can't. I just can't cope. No, can't.
Not me.
No. So, how many opportunities have I missed out? Probably several, but I don't care.
We'll just make our own.
That's right. Yep. Now you posted. Right. What's this? Are you doing this Whips Be Gone thing?
Yes, I am.
Or were you just posting, hoping someone would join you?
Well, actually, I've had two people join me, but that I know. But if somebody else is doing it, it's called by @devotedquilter is the person to follow on Instagram.
Okay.
And her thought was, it's on the 23rd was the start of it, and we have 100 days until the end of the year. Let's try to get a few whips done here in 2021. And I kind of like those challenges. I know you're not a challenge person that kind of drive you.
Because I fail every time. It's not because I'm not opposed to them, or not because I'm opposed to them. It's just every time I fail. Every time.
Well, and for me, I like the camaraderie of doing this with a group of people, seeing what other people are doing, feeling like you're being cheered on. So, but I am going to do it. I haven't decided what whips I'm going to officially try to concentrate on, but, that 17th century white work sampler, I'm down to the point where I'm going to need to start cutting and then doing the actual white work sections.
Oh.
And I thought that's doable. I think though I have to hem stitch it first. So,
oh,
that might be I can hem stitch. I know how to hem stitch.
Yeah.
But it's just not my favorite thing to do. So,
right.
That's kind of a holdup. But maybe this Whips Be Gone will kind of encourage me to move that forward.
Hey, well, that whip bingo thing is working for Jennifer. I mean, all year long, that's kept her going. So.
Right. And I like having those sort of challenges where it, again, you just take small little bites out of some of those projects.
Yeah.
I like it that like Marianne Lang is done. Now, so do I give myself permission to start a new project? And I'm like, no, start new projects until you get something finished. But
keep lopping them
off. Because
it is
so close to the end.
So that's the hook with this Whips Be Gone is 100 days. What can you finish in 100 days?
Right. Get out of your stash so you can start fresh in 2022 with new projects.
Okay.
Well, that's my thought. Okay. That's my thought. I don't know if it's everyone else's thought, but that's my thought.
I've seen that movie. Okay. All right.
Yeah. There's always something new to be stitched.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, more power to you.
You just started that. Right, and that just show gonna the Australian one. I've got to look up when we get off of here.
Yes, you'll buy it. You'll buy it.
Yeah, sure.
I'm pretty sure you'll buy it. Yep.
Yes, I'm pretty sure I will.
Yep, you will. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I bought it, but I bought it with the intention of stitching it, not just to help out with a fundraiser. But I like that one. Yeah, I like the different stitches in there. Yep, it's. It's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the burning question. Now, last week, Heather Gitlin was our guest, and she's starting design work and underway with that, but she's also doing the Master Craftsman class, the EGA Master Craftsman program in County Camas. And so,
okay.
You know, a nice conversation about that. You and I did, three or four videos of people's collection of things, each of the stages. And so, after talking with Heather, then, actually, while I was talking, I'm wondering, where's Bess head in terms of starting one of these things? Because I know where mine's at.
Well, I have seriously considered many times starting the Count of Canvas work, mainly because that's the one I feel most proficient in. I would not, the counted thread, I'm just not that good in that technique. But the counted canvas, I look at that and I think, one of these days, and I'm not, as someone pointed out to me, Beth, you're not getting any younger. If you want to start this,
that's always helpful when someone points that out, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, thanks.
At least they're good. At least they're good friends. You know, if they weren't good friends, you'd probably smack them.
Yeah. You're not getting any younger. Yeah, I pretty much got that part. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. But, you know, it's about 2 years. You know, my friend has done it, and she said, yeah, she got distracted by other shiny things.
Uh-huh.
But she gave herself, like, I think a year or 2 years between each one, okay. each level. So you got to take that into account. If it's going to take you that long, and there's six levels, that's 12 years.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a long time.
Uh-huh. Haul. Right. So it's either that, or you have to say, I am committed to working on this, just it. And, you know, that's not going to happen with me. I've next shiny object. That's right. Going to distract me. So my question is, so how serious are you about doing this?
Well, I will admit that I have given more than one of those programs serious consideration. Oh, you know, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, serious consideration. Like, you know, I really should do one of those because I think that the education and the experience would be really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then I look at myself and even a monthly stitch along, sampler stitch along, I can't keep up with that. You know, so that's what stops me every time is, all right, if I bite into this thing and say I'm going to do it, can I commit the time it takes? And I think for me, it would be shoving any other project aside.
Right.
Just saying, I'm not working on any of these other things because I'm going to commit to this and I'm going to make sure it happens. So I think that's where that's the roadblock I run into. But I think it would be really cool to, you know, count a canvas, whatever it is. I think that the what you would learn and the, you know, the overall experience would just be incredibly valuable. So that, you know, I'm just torn in those two ways where there's a lot of value, there's a lot of learning to be done. Can I commit? Because if I knew that I could commit and focus, you could easily talk me into doing the Japanese embroidery progression, easily.
Really?
Yeah, I think that would be. You know, that's why I'm so intrigued by it. And when, you know, or whenever we talk to Deb DeCrane, you know, I just intrigues me to no end because of the commitment, the precision, the beauty, mm-hmm. the, you know, the high expectation level that comes with that, the tradition that's behind that. To me, to have accomplished that is just, you know, beyond. And
right.
You could talk me into it, but like right now, I just know I can't put in what I think should be a couple of serious focused hours a day. On that, I just know I can't do it and will just make myself mad and there'll be one more pile of stuff that's sitting there not finished. And
well, and my reason for seriously, I mean, it is on my serious, I really should really consider doing it here sooner than later, is I knew I couldn't do it when I had kids and kids at home, but my kids are all gone. And yeah, we're doing some traveling. But the way the program works, you are given a 2 year, I think it is 2 years that you're given to complete that level. You don't have to take that long, but it gives you that stretch of time. So if you know, well, hey, I'm going to be busy all the month of October. I'm going to have to really work on this project. Let's hit it hard in November. Leave everything else aside. I think I could do that. And for me, I think it would get my technique up a level.
Yeah.
I think it would move my whole canvas work up a notch. And I think by focusing on canvas work, I think all of my other embroidery would get better too.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt about that. You'd be a better stitcher overall. Yeah. Yeah.
But I love so many different techniques. And that's the other problem that I have with committing to this. I mean, because I've been looking at stump work lately. Can't imagine why. Hazel Blomkamp posted something called Tony the Lion.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
You didn't. Oh, so sad. Well, I might have signed up for that.
You might have, huh?
Yes, I think I did. And I talked Kim Young into doing it with me. Yeah, I'm kind of bad about that. But anyway, so yeah, there's those shiny objects that I'd like to work on. And, you know, to commit to the counted canvas master craftsman, I'd have to really buckle down and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Everything else is just going to have to be put to the side. Don't look at it, you know.
Yeah.
And then and you're not any help either with your samplers and
what?
Other things that you show.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Mr. Great Enabler.
See, I want to do Kathy Andrews, that King's Pineapple class that she did, you know, because I sat there for those couple of hours and played with those wool threads. And, oh, man, I want to do that one. See, that's the trouble. That's the trouble is.
Right. Right. There's always something. And I have a couple of crewel pieces. And I think, you know, I should take those out and practice my shading with that wool.
Mm-hmm.
So that way when I want to switch over to doing silk shading or shading somewhere else, I've already got a little bit better at that technique. Oh my. Always something.
Yeah, I just think it would be really cool. It would just be, I mean, there'd obviously be a sense of pride, but also the sense of accomplishment of reaching a level of being certified in a technique by the EGA or ANG, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But you know, to be able to have that pin, you know, that ribbon on your shirt, you know, I did this, and I, you know, every time I can say, yes, I'm certified in this. And I just think that would be good for the ego, but it would also be good, like you said, for the stitching technique overall. You just, you'd have to be better. If you didn't come out of that a better stitcher overall, I'm not sure what you were doing. I really am.
Right. Right. Well, and I said, I have a friend that finished that. And then another dear lady who is a member of our guild who recently passed within the last couple of years, she had like three or four of them that she had done. Angie Hsu, I know she did color and design, color. And then I think design, she might've had canvas and counted thread. So she did quite a few, and she was quite the amazing stitcher. Her stitching was very beautiful, but then she also was very, very creative. Very, and I think taking those master craftsmen and helped her with that.
Yeah,
she was just a fabulous stitcher.
Yeah,
but
yeah, and I think also if you lacked confidence in what you could do, accomplishing one of those would flip that coin for you, you know, in terms of am I a good stitcher? Can I stitch at the highest level? And if you accomplish one of those things, you know, the answer is a resounding yes. And so if you lack confidence in trying things or no, you can do it. And that would be a plus too. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Right, right. One of these days. One of these days.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. It's worth thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if I get some of these whips gone with whips be gone before the 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's never going to happen.
There we go.
My whip list is so long, it's not even.
I'm making a little less, and I'm going to check off every time you post that you finish something, and we'll see how we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. All right, that's going to be it. Thanks for listening, and join us tonight. Now I'll be at Vicki Jennett's house. You want to see some cool stuff, you'll see some cool stuff from there. So join us tonight on the Stitch Hour on YouTube at 8 o'clock Eastern. And Sunday we have Karen Teresi, bead embroidery from, the world of entertainment. Yep. Going to be good. That's it. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.